This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone. We are back.
Yeah, we're back.
I cannot. I swear my hair has gotten longer since the last time we recorded.
It really freaking has. Are you letting it long again?
Yeah, I'm letting it go again.
Awesome. Because, yes. I mean, you are trademark Evie with your long hair.
With my long hair. I know. Yeah. I had the short hair had its moment, but she's got to go. I loved my short hair. I think it was
it was really cute.
A different persona.
Yeah, I loved short hair Evie.
Yeah, but long hair Evie, that's the OG.
So
she's getting longer, but I feel like it's been forever since we've sat down and recorded.
It has been. It's like a month or so, right?
I know. It was giving me anxiety. I needed to come back. I actually wanted to record like a TikTok video of like slamming open the door and being like, where the fuck have you been?
I mean, we can.
Okay, We're going to do that. Okay, so today's episode... Welcome back, everyone. We are so excited. I feel like my energy is even different.
I know. And honestly,
Julie's like,
I'm like,
who is this?
I am into this. Okay.
She loves this.
I love this energy. And I was already thinking like, maybe we should do a shotgun of a Celsius today and everything in between episodes.
Oh my God. I've never done that. And I don't think I could do that. Is that a thing? Do people do that?
Like they do with beer cans. Well, you have to do it down here.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we should do that. It's a beautiful day outside. It lends itself for like craziness.
Okay, let's plan for next time because I need to like mentally prepare for a shotgun. That just reminds me of like college days, and that was a bad idea. And I'm pretty sure that also applies to shotgunning a Celsius. That is a bad idea, right? Okay, I cannot be wrong about that. I don't think we would be able to record.
I'll make a poll. I think we can.
I'd be...
I'm
bouncing off everywhere right now.
I know, I love it. But anyways, we're here, guys. We're here. And we didn't even realize that this is coming out in February for the love month.
I know. And we were kind of just talking right now, just being honest. We were saying we don't have like a love related episode or anything like that. And actually, what we're gonna be talking about today is longevity and preventative medicine. So I'm gonna say, it can relate to that. Try to be in a good relationship.
Yeah, no toxicity.
No toxicity with others and with yourself.
Yes.
And I promise that will lead to longevity and prevention of a lot of shitty things that can happen to you. Okay, so yeah, let's go into the episode, longevity and preventative medicine.
There you go, guys. Love, we touched
Valentine's. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, anyway, for you to get, honestly, to like reach longevity, you know, you have to be in like, at least if you're married, be in a good marriage.
I love how we're linking things.
Yeah, this is totally improv. Like we were not planning. I literally just thought of it. I'm like, oh crap, it's right before Valentine's Day. So Oh, I'm wearing red.
I know. Actually, Jules, that's actually pretty good. I'm not wearing anything. I'm wearing my usual black.
I mean, typically me. But anyway, wow, we are not able. Okay, anyway, longevity and preventative medicine. What are we talking about? Why are we talking about it? What is it?
Yes.
Go ahead, doc.
All right. So longevity and preventative medicine are really hot topics in health and wellness, especially as research starts growing. It starts to uncover how we can live not just longer, but a healthier life.
Exactly. Check our Brian Johnson episode.
Yes.
Which we probably should do like another one and revamp
it. Yes, because I know his story is growing.
Yes. He's gotten a lot more interviews. Yeah. Things have gotten crazier. If you don't know what that is, it's a guy that he wants to live the longest ever, and he's like an ex Silicon Valley person and has a lot of money, and the stuff he's doing,
a lot of blood transfusions,
a lot of
diets and exercise and MRIs, and he has a whole entire scientific team behind this
just to make him age backwards is what he wants, to have biologically the age of his son, which is an 18-year-old or a teenager.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check that out. Given that he's been in a lot of interviews and all that stuff, it's kind of led into this.
Yeah.
Longevity, preventative medicine and all
exactly.
that stuff. So check that out and we'll probably do a revamp on that.
Yeah. And today we're going to kind of break down what longevity really means
yeah.
and just how it's different from living longer mm-hmm. and also what science has to tell us about preventing diseases before they actually start. So I love this.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jewel. So what is longevity? Jules always tells us a little bit about the history.
Yeah, I guess this is like the closest to that in this topic anyway. So it refers, longevity refers to the length of time a person lives, but the term has evolved to emphasize health span rather than just lifespan, right? So because you could live up to 100, but if you have all these illnesses, you're not really having a good quality of life. That's where it's different. So lifespan is a total number of years a person lives. For example, somebody who lives up to 85 has an 85-year lifespan. And then a health span is the portion of that lifespan, so that whole total number, that is spent with good health, actual good health. So free from those chronic diseases or disabilities, such as like diabetes, etc. Like things that are going to lower your quality of having a good life.
Does.
Pretty much.
Being drunk in college
probably
decrease your health span.
Yeah, for sure.
Not a chronic problem, but it was
for sure
4 years.
Just the first,
possibly more.
Not even that. Like, let's go to like very recent past. Just like the first weeks of 2025.
Yeah.
Okay, have been enough to remove several years of my life.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This year started out real hard.
Oh, no. I've had a great start to my
year.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, Jewel. Jewel and I are completely different pages.
Completely.
She's about to shed a tear. And yeah. I have the look of confusion and like,
ooh. Nurse, that's why she's so pumped. And I'm here like.
Yeah. In the street chat.
Yeah, it's been a rough one. It's been a rough one. But anyway, the goal of longevity science is to extend health span. So that portion of that good health in that total number of years that you're on Earth, pretty much. So people that can remain active, independent, and disease-free for as long as possible. It's about adding life to your years, not just years to your life.
I love that. Years to your life.
Yeah. Okay. Are you working to live or are you living to work?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same shit.
All right.
You so, just went off.
I know. Just, yeah.
You had your straitjacket moment.
I did. Okay. All right. So preventative medicine. This kind of medicine focuses on the actions, the strategies to prevent disease or detect them earlier when they're easier to treat, okay? So it's kind of a proactive approach to health, and it really aims to reduce the burden of a chronic illness and pretty much improve the quality of your life. There are three levels of prevention. So there's primary prevention, which basically stops diseases before they even happen. So this could be something, I think an easy example is vaccines,
yeah.
Okay? Healthy diets, exercise.
Right.
Those are primary prevention strategies. Then you have secondary prevention, which detects and treats diseases in their early stages, such as cancer screenings or maybe regular blood pressure checks. Then you have tertiary prevention, which manages long-term health conditions to prevent complications. This could be physical therapy when unfortunately someone suffers from a stroke, you do physical therapy. So you're kind of doing that tertiary strategy to improve your outcome later. Now, by addressing risk factors early, preventative medicine helps people avoid illnesses that would otherwise shorten their health span and lifespan. So
yeah.
Jules is going to talk a little bit about a brief history. Thanks. Jules is going to talk about a brief history of longevity and preventative medicine, because that's very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think something that's really slept on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And I think now we're putting more of a focus on preventative. So like eating right and all that. Yeah. Back in like, you know, our parents and grandparents era, like they weren't really thinking
You know,
that.
It's so crazy to me because I feel that a lot of people do not have that relationship with their, I speak of a doctor perspective.
Yeah.
I feel that there's a lot of patients out there that don't even have a good relationship with their primary care provider. And don't get me wrong, I'm speaking from a doctor aspect. Trust me, we totally understand that we only have 10 to 15 minutes. So it's really hard to develop a relationship with that time constriction. And we feel it too, right? Yeah. I want to learn more about my patients and all of that. However, it's extremely difficult. However, I do know patients that they come to me once a year and they have 10 problems that they want to address. And most of them, it's just saying, hey, I want a referral for this.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to tell them, oh, let's try a couple of things. That's the whole entire point of preventative medicine or this primary, secondary, and tertiary strategies of treating that. And sometimes they kind of just tell me, well, no, because, you know, I'm here and I can only come like once a year. So I don't want to have to come back. And I'm like, that's really not how medicine is practiced.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So definitely.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't even like do their yearlies and stuff like that.
No, they don't.
You don't have time. Like, it's hard these days.
It's super hard. However, I find it hard to believe that once a year, you cannot
at minimum
go.
Yeah.
To your PCP and discuss some things.
Right.
It's absurd. You know, you can take a vacation.
Yeah.
Right. You can go to a baseball game or something like that. But God forbid you take a day to go to the doctor. And then I get it because a lot of patients will tell me, well, no, the wait is long and all these things. But I always say, think about the outcome of it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, ask your questions, ask all those things. And sometimes, if you know that you have a list of 10 problems, it is unrealistic to expect that you're going to address 10 problems in 10 minutes.
Right.
It takes 2 minutes just for me to come into the room and be like, hey, hi, how are you? Yeah. Just be a human, have a human interaction.
Exactly.
So I always tell my patients, hey, let's try to address the top 3 problems. And then I will give you a follow-up appointment and we can keep going to really address everything. But I do say, you the same way that we are putting in the time to ask you questions and all these things, you need to put in the time to follow up with us.
Yeah.
Let us know if things are working, if things are not. Everyone is so different. And I can only get that feedback if I talk to you.
Yeah. And there are some people that they feel, and I've heard this, that's why, like in the patient perspective, that they feel like, oh, if I go to a doctor, then some problem's going to come up. Some problem's going to come up and I just don't have the time to deal with it.
Yeah.
That is like
ignoring, right? That's at that point, you're just picking what problems.
Yeah.
And everything is most likely.
Wouldn't you want to know?
No. And also everything is integrated. Everything is connected together.
Yeah.
I had a patient come in. She hadn't come to me for forever. She fractured her foot. So she came to me for an ortho referral. Perfect. Okay. You need to go see the orthopedic surgeon. You fractured your leg, right? And then I did not see her for 6 months. So then she comes to me and she said, well, there were some complications with the fracture. But the reason why I'm here today is not for the fracture. It's because she's having this like significant back pain. So, you know, I'm like making sure there's no infection, blah, 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 whatever. But it's, I just touch her back and it hurts her. So I'm like, hey, I feel like she actually might be having a back spasm.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then mom, you know, already like annoyed with me. I don't know why, because I haven't seen you in forever, but already annoyed. I can just pick up.
Be annoyed. You're because finding something that's wrong.
I know.
I mean, it's like,
but
don't you want to know?
Parents come in like already expecting something.
Of course.
And then when you change it, they're like, here we go again. They're going to give me something that I'm not, basically, you're not open-minded to. But I'm telling her, I'm like, I just touch her back and she's already hurting. And I twist her back and forth and it hurts her.
Yeah.
So I tell her, I'm like, hey, like, is she sleeping the wrong way? Is any kind of exercise that maybe she's done, that maybe she has a back turn? And she's like, well, no, because she has a fracture and she wears a boot. So she hasn't been doing any PE and she doesn't do any exercise. So it's impossible that she hurt herself. And then I'm like, well, talk to me about the boot. How long has she been wearing the boot for?
Right.
I'm like, does she even bear weight on that extremity?
Yeah.
And she's like, no. So I'm saying, I'm like, actually, this does make sense to me.
Yeah.
I think her muscles are compensating for that weight of her body. And she's most likely straining other muscles. As soon as I told her that.
Yeah.
She kind of was, don't get me wrong, she was fine. But she kind of settled down, like, okay, it clicked for her that maybe it is that, and it's not something more serious. Well, obviously, it's still, like, a problem, but not something more serious, like a serious infection or a UTI that someone is missing.
Right, right, right.
But I also feel that patients have a lot of trauma with other physicians.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times that someone has told me that they go into the room and they're like, the doctor didn't even put their hands on me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then you have that extreme.
Then you have that extreme. Exactly. So they come in like already traumatized and expecting something.
I'll say I am the first one, not with medical, but with dental.
Yeah.
I'm the first one that I go to my, like, I haven't even gone to the dentist in like 2 years. I know I need to go. I get it. And I have dental insurance. I need to go. But I haven't gone because of the simple fact that I know that I'm going to go. Not that I know. You see? You see? You see what I did there?
Yeah.
I feel.
I think it's a normal human thing to do.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm going to go there and then they're going to give me this laundry list of problems that I didn't. I'm like, is this really necessary?
Yeah. And I think so. A lot of people have so much stress in their life and they're like, am I really ready to open up another can of stress?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's like, it's not about a cavity, but they're going to be like, oh, well, you need to do this. You need to do that. This cleaning or what? And then it's just like, why did I come here? It's like.
Well, no, I understand that. I had the same problem when I was a resident.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a resident, I didn't have time to do anything. And I'm going to be honest, right there with you. I didn't go to the dentist for like 2, maybe 3 years because then the pandemic hit.
Oh, yeah.
Then I really didn't go anywhere.
Exactly.
So when I went back, I was mortified. I told myself, I cannot believe I'm going to tell them, you know, they're going to ask me my profession and I'm a physician and they're going to ask me when's the last time. And I have to admit to them that I have not gone.
I think that's more common than you think for doctors because Mario had, I honestly don't know when was the last time. He just went like a couple of months ago and it was the same thing. Yeah. He's like, yo, I was doing residency when I thought that I could finally go. Pandemic hit, then the move, then this, then that. And he finally went, like maybe, I'm telling you, 3 to 4 months ago.
Yeah. And so, you know, hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that we're actually talking about right now. You need to put your health as a priority.
Yeah, we have to do it. We have to do it.
The same way that we put our job, residency, and all these things as a priority, saying, no, I need to be there. I have work and like all these things. We need to say, no, I need to be there. I have a doctor's appointment. I need to talk to my doctor about things.
Exactly. So. And it's dumb. And I know that it's dumb not going to the dentist because if I don't go now and there's already an active problem that I am unaware of, then I'm just making that become a bigger problem later for me.
Exactly.
It'll become a cavity. It'll become a root canal. Yeah. It'll be something way worse than something that I could go right now and get rid of, like maybe an appointment or two. Mm-hmm. No, it's just, I get it. So what we're trying to say in this long-winded conversation that we just had, we have done it. We've done it. We have. I'm actively doing it now with like dentistry, you know?
And this is kind of the point of our podcast, right? It's to increase this awareness and just have an open conversation about it. So keep a non-judgmental zone.
Relative. For you to have the, you know.
Especially today's day and age. Like it is, everyone is stressed. There's no time. There's no this. No. Everything's expensive. And people can barely afford insurance, right?
Eggs.
Yeah, eggs. I know. Don't even get me started on eggs. You know that's going to like open up a can of worms for me with Mr. President. But
this is not a political podcast.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep going. Anyway, so the pursuit of longevity and preventative health dates back to ancient civilizations. Here we are.
Yeah. Now Jules is going to talk about history.
Let's go back to that. Where health was closely tied. I love it. What? I forgot that I had written this in. Oh. Perfect. Where health was closely tied to balance and disease prevention.
Here we go.
What?
Stay with me.
Ancient Egyptians.
Again. I will one day. Well, you did the DNA in me, right? We talked about that. Yeah. And there was no Egyptian in you?
Yes, we went through
it. Right. That's right. No, you were like Nordic or something too. I don't know how that happened. Definitely.
I broke 23andMe.
Some interracial things going on in your past.
I broke 23andMe. 23. The person like putting that together must have been like, what the fuck does this person look like?
I want to do the 23andMe. But I think
we could do a whole episode.
I'm pretty sure that I'm gonna be like Lebanese or something.
There's
all of like my grandparents suffer from there.
That makes sense.
All right. I'm going to do it one day. We'll see.
Anyway,
we'll see what kind of interactions my families were having.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You know, I don't know. Anyway, so ancient Egyptians emphasized hygiene, plant-based diets, and herbal remedies like garlic and heart health and honey as an antiseptic. Actually, I just saw a news article that they found like honey in a tomb that was like over 2,000 years old, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 years old. Like that
was
makes
it
a difference.
Still good?
It was still good. Ancient Egyptians, bro. Like, how could you not be fascinated at that shit?
Okay, good. Like, so I don't feel bad using my 2-year-old honey in my cabinet.
We're talking about.
I literally had this conversation with Mike. I ran out of honey, and then I found some like in the back cabinet, and it was all like crusty, like sugary.
Oh yeah, that's crystallized.
Yeah, like crystallized. Yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, does honey go bad?
Nope.
And then I
if it's real honey, no.
No, it was real honey. Yeah, so yeah. I just said, screw it.
You're good.
I may have some gastroenteritis after, but whatever. Yeah. Who knows?
Anyway, so
I'm willing to take the risk.
I think you're going to be fired.
Yeah, I think I'm fired.
Anyway, medical texts like the Edwin Smith Papyrus. There I go, finally! It was pretty early in the episode that I like tripped over my own mouth, as I typically do. Anyways, detailed early surgical techniques and treatments highlighting their advanced understanding of preventative care. Similarly, traditional Chinese medicine and
Ayurveda
that focus on diet balance.
I don't know if that's how you say it, but
we're gonna hope for the best. Balance and natural remedies to promote long life, while ancient Greeks, led by Hippocrates, prioritized exercise and diet to prevent illness. So you see, like, people knew about this and to like a certain extent back then, you know.
Well, I feel like back then they didn't really have modern medicine.
Yeah, of course.
So they had to have really focused on preventative.
It's odd, man, because medicine. The ancient Egyptians like even had like they knew how to do cesareans.
Yeah,
thing.
I know.
It's weird.
I know.
It's so weird. Anyway, yeah. That's a whole other tangent that I'm not gonna
it's
go into.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
It's so insane. I saw it.
I can definitely go into a tangent. Just
I saw it. I saw the fucking hieroglyph when we went.
That's crazy.
Back in 20, and I was like, "Are you?" And you see it there with the pincers and whatever.
Oh, hell no.
I was like,
no, without any anesthesia or maybe milk.
You love milk of the poppy.
I love milk of the poppy. It's like my fix to everything.
Back then, you would have been like, milk of the poppy.
Everyone. Yeah, everyone. You need
instead
some...
of dilaudid.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of dilaudid. You need some milk of the poppy? Right here. Just look at this forest of poppy that I have. I don't even know how you make it.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
I don't know how to make it. So... but milk of the poppy, that's all I know that people use.
I feel like that's from Game of Thrones.
No, for sure it is. It's definitely, I don't know what show. There's multiple shows that I've seen milk of the poppy.
Oh, for sure. Anything that's like of that era, probably they're mentioning milk of the poppy.
Exactly. I'm going to do my homework and I'm actually going to like look at like natural medicine and I'm actually going to do some research on milk of the poppy.
Yeah, we should. We should do like an episode like that of like ancient remedies.
Yeah, like ancient remedies and see like how it works.
Yeah. Anyway, so by the 19th century, public health advancements like sanitation, clean water, and vaccinations significantly increased life expectancy. Honestly, like the Victorian times were beautiful. I love it. Like just the aesthetic of it. But it must stunk.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do think about the Victorian, just it's like vibe and everything. But I really think about it and I'm like, that
no
thing
sanitation.
Was ridden with disease.
Well, I read like an Atlas Obscura or some one of those articles that castles looked beautiful, glamorous, all this stuff. But it stank.
Oh, God.
Like all castles were like not great. Not great. And the, many of the reasons why like women, you know, and men like wore like big things
was,
and stuff because
was
of
to retain that smell. Oh, gross. Hey,
I cannot. Anyway, yeah. So thank you 19th century for helping with that. So the 20th century introduced antibiotics, vaccines, and health campaigns that further extended lifespan and focused on preventing chronic diseases. Today, longevity science explores cellular aging, genetic repair, and innovations. Senolytic drugs, I think that's how you say it, and gene therapy, blending ancient wisdom with modern research. This history illustrates humanity's enduring effort to extend both lifespan and health span, shaping the foundation for modern perspective. Preventative medicine, not perspective.
All right, so...
Take this on, please.
Julie and I are both sick.
I mean, I don't know where these sniffles came from because I was fine.
No, mine started 3 days ago. Okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit more on the science today that we have about causes of aging and shorter health spans in general. Aging is influenced by a lot of things, and that could be a combination of things that are genetic, biological, and also lifestyle factors. These are some key contributors to it, not all. One is cellular aging, which I think is the most science-based one. Yeah. Over time, cells accumulate a lot of damage from environmental and internal stressors. So this includes oxidative stress. You're going to hear that term thrown around a lot when you talk about cellular aging. And the oxidative stress are from free radicals, okay? So free radicals, just to make it very plain and simple, damages DNA, okay? And then that can also damage proteins and lipids and just a lot of other molecular
building blocks.
Building blocks, exactly. That's a really good word for it.
Yeah.
So another thing that is also very heavily science that you can spend hours reading on are telomeres and their shortening. So at the end of DNA, you have structures called telomeres.
They look like rods, like two rods.
Exactly.
Like kind of a little bit connected. You know?
And then telomeres are protective caps. So think of like your DNA and then it has protective caps at the end. Those are the telomeres. So they're protective caps at the ends of these DNA and like the chromosomes in general, okay? Each time a cell divides, the telomeres shorten. It's just the process. We're not going to get into that process.
Nope.
We're not going to get into that biochem. But anyways, when they become too short, then the cell can no longer divide. And then that leads to a lot down the line. Okay, this is like a very simplified version, but it's going to lead to tissue aging. Then you have things that I think we talk about a little bit more, that's like more like layman terms.
Yeah.
So chronic inflammation, low grade, long term inflammation, or a lot of people call it inflammaging. And it's linked to conditions like heart disease, arthritis, and Alzheimer's. All these things that Jules and I have already kind of talked about on our pod, and you can look back at all those episodes.
Yeah.
Unhealthy lifestyle, which we cover pretty much all the time.
All the time.
Poor diet, lack of exercise, smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, that can contribute significantly to a lot of age-related decline. And then some of these symptoms, while aging is like a really natural process, certain symptoms indicate a decline in health span. So remember that time in your life where you're considered to be your healthiest. So decreased energy levels, when you become fatigued, that is a really that's really more common as a metabolic process slows down. That's that like feeling that are just sluggish in general. You don't have a lot of energy and you feel tired all the time. That's kind of what the word fatigue encompasses. Fatigue is very every time a patient tells me they're fatigued, I'm like, tell me a little bit more, because fatigue can be very different from everyone.
Exactly.
Cognitive decline, a memory lapse, slower mental processing, right? If you're, you know, doing something and you're really not paying attention, or if you're really not retaining these things, that could be a cognitive decline. That's another sign. Also, increased susceptibility to diseases. So conditions like diabetes, heart disease, and cancer are more likely to occur with age. And then the other thing is physical changes. So loss of muscle mass, reduced bone density. I cannot tell you the amount of times that my biochemistry teacher in medical school talked to me about bone density that literally traumatized me. And that was one of the things that he told us, that weight training is actually very good for bone density.
Super important.
Unfortunately, Jules, you and I are out of our bone density growth days. So what we got is what we got, and we need to take care of it.
Yeah.
Anyways, joint stiffness is also going to become more noticeable as you age. Tell me about it. Literally everything hurts. Mine's like, I felt like I hit the age of 30 and literally everything hurts.
I mean, at least one knee is popping.
No, both
at least.
It's so funny. I was working out with Monica the other day, and I was so frustrated because I never in my life never had knee pain. I thank the Lord. My joints have always been pretty good, but lately I've had knee pain. I tell her, I was like, no, my knee pain is kind of good today, but honestly, it's so frustrating because I just can't figure out what is going on. Like, how can I make it better? And she literally just looked at me and she's like, "We're older," and it just, she told me that, and I'm like,
I know.
Like paper bag.
I know. I can't. Like, I cannot go down that dark rabbit
hole. No, we can't. And also, like, we're not even that old. Okay. So that's just in my brain. I'm going to keep telling myself that. And yeah, everything is relative, right? So, okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the prevalence of aging in aging-related diseases. Okay. Mm-hmm. These diseases are widespread. They are particularly in more developed countries, which is
like the U.S.,
like
Canada.
The U.S., yeah. But that to me is like kind of crazy too.
Yeah,
but we'll talk a little bit more after that. I keep on going off track. We want to talk so much today.
I know.
Why do I want to talk so much today?
Because we haven't seen each other in a while.
I know, exactly.
So we're just like yapping.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so, all right. Heart disease. All right. The leading cause of death globally is heart disease, right? And this is often linked to lifestyle factors and inflammation. Diabetes. Over 460 million people worldwide live with diabetes, which is strongly tied to diet and obesity.
Yeah.
Dementia. This one scares the crap out of me.
Any neurodegenerative.
Yeah, same.
Really freaks me out.
Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, affecting millions of older adults and sadly even some younger adults.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That movie, I think, Still Alice.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it, but I heard about it.
Woo.
Yeah. But
gives me chills. That movie is right there with a horror movie to me.
Oh, my God.
Because it's more real. Yeah. Like, she's young. Well, young. Like, she's, like, in her 40s or 50s. She's, a really brilliant PhD.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you see the beginning to the end of the movie broke my heart. But it's horrifying.
I know.
To think about.
I think I told you that my medical school was very heavy. We had an institute for successful aging and things like that. So we saw a lot.
You did. Yeah.
We saw a lot of like Alzheimer's and things like that. And I saw a lot of young Alzheimer's.
And your grandma had Alzheimer's too.
Oh, yeah.
But she was older.
But she was older. Right.
So it hits more, it's more common.
Still sad, right?
For sure.
But it's really sad when you see a 40-year-old driving and she's lost and she has no idea where she is.
Bro, that shit happened to me the other day because I took too much magnesium.
Oh my God, Jolie. hold on, guys. So wait a minute, Jolie. How much? I just want to pause and ask you, how much magnesium did you take? Girl, do we have to do a breathalyzer? Do they need to make breathalyzers for magnesium now?
It's not even that. Like, look, I have something weird in my body. Like, for instance, I remember that I took valerian root to try to help me.
I do remember that.
And
Julie freaked out.
That fucked me up real bad. And I was like younger. Like, that was probably like 10 years ago or something. And that was a long time ago, okay? The next day after taking valerian root, I kept on forgetting where the fuck I was.
So that will happen with you with magnesium?
Now it happens to me with magnesium.
How much magnesium did you take?
I think for real, I think it says to take 2. I may have taken 3 because I forgot that I had taken 2.
Okay, we literally have a reason why you were lost.
Yeah, for sure. No, that one's like diagnosed. I understand that one. Yeah. And the valerian root, for real. Like, I had a bad, like, adverse reaction to it. But that is the scariest feeling. Like, the one I can remember the clearest that scared the shit out of me was with the valerian root. I was in Coconut Grove. Bro, we practically grew up in Coconut Grove, okay?
Yeah, I know.
So this is like a place in Miami that like we have gone to
millions of times.
Millions of times. Like, I cannot count.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And since we were children, pretty much. And I'm there like standing getting out of a movie or something there. And I'm like there like with Mario. And all of a sudden I'm like, where am I? And then I'm like, oh my God, this is bad.
clinked.
Yeah, it happened to me for like maybe 20 seconds that I was just like, dude, I was in the, on the first floor of Coconut Grove before like it got remodeled.
Cocoa
like
Walk,
it got,
yeah.
Yeah. And dude,
Fat Tuesdays.
Exactly. Remember that. That was around me. And I'm there like, what is this place?
You remember the club Green Apple? Was it called Green Apple?
All those clubs changed like a million times. Was it Oxygen, you mean?
No, Oxygen was downstairs.
Exactly. That's the one I remember.
Green Apple, I think, was the one upstairs from Fat Tuesdays. It was like in
by the Hooters?
Yeah, kind of like by the Hooters.
Maybe. Oh, that later on became like the Dueling Pianos or whatever the fuck.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
And then that it became a Duffy's. You see how much we know this place?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's exactly why that I stood there for 20 seconds not realizing where the fuck I was. I'm like, oh shit, something's bad.
Dude, the other day I saw Oasis, the hookah bar. I cannot believe that place is still in business.
Mario and I literally went for a walk or a dog, whatever the fuck, like a week
Everything
ago.
Everything has changed except for
Oasis. Literally said the same thing. We're like, we at first thought that it was like maybe like a money laundering scheme. Yeah, dude, it's been there for like 30 years.
It has to be, because we used to go to that hookah lounge, and I cannot believe.
In time.
No. That was the place to be when I really? Was in high school. Because, you know, you didn't have to.
I know. For hookah, you
didn't have to. It was like that weird age, 18, that you're legal, but not 21, that you can't drink. So it's like, what's the cool thing to do? Oh, let's go to hookah. Hookah bar. So we used to always go to Oasis.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with Oasis, but anyways.
But yeah,
it's still there.
Anyways, that's actually really scary that you did not for a second know where you were.
Girl, never again will I take Valerian root. Ever.
Wait, so where were you with the magnesium?
Oh, with magnesium, I think I was like driving or whatever. And then, dude, I am really good with directions. Really am. Like, I don't flatter myself much, but directions, I got it. Yeah. Like, that is one thing that I'm like, throw me in a random city, I will find something. Yeah. You know? Anyway, I don't know why. There's actually like theory to that with like the hypothalamus and whatever. Wow, I need to stay on track. Anyway, and I'm like in the middle of the Gables, close to my actual home. Yeah. So
you know that place.
Born and raised there.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of a sudden I'm like, am I making a right or a left here? And I'm like, the fuck is wrong with me? And I'm like,
you're probably just not paying attention.
Dude, no, but like I can zone out, but that was
It happens.
That's like the typical route that I take to the point that, you know, when you're like driving somewhere that you always drive to and you get to that someplace and you're like, how the fuck did I even get
it's
here?
It's just like muscle memory. Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. Like, that was one of those routes. And I'm actively there telling myself, wait a minute, am I making a right or a left? And that's when I had to like for a minute there be like, I actually had to really think about it and be like, no, if I make a right, then I'm going to A Street. If I make a left, I'm going to the US 100. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I even doing right now? That freaked me out. So now I'm taking just magnesium to sleep. Because I was really scared.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, it's valerian root all over again.
All right. So anyways, with the global population.
I also started thinking, I'm like, oh my God, did I hit my head when I got in an accident or something? Like, what's going on?
Oh my God. No, yeah. You like, just spiraled.
I went through a big spiral driving that day. I don't even remember where I was going. I don't even remember right now, but I spiraled hard. Oh my God, did I even hit my head? Like, what is going on? Am I getting Alzheimer's? Like, what is happening? God. I'm only 35. Like, this can't be. Like, every time that happens to me, I freak out.
Yeah, freak out hard.
I shouldn't have watched that movie. I really shouldn't have. It really traumatized me. It really did something real bad to me. I start thinking about Julianne Moore all over again, like, just trying to do that circle and that clock. I'm like, oh my God, that's going to be me, bro. That's gonna be me.
No, it's not. She's so negative. Yeah, no, it's not. It's called you took too much magnesium and you weren't paying attention. You literally were not paying attention. Common things are common, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So, anyways, let me just wrap this up. With the global population age 65 and older projected to double by 2050. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, dude. That's actually gonna be good. Us.
Yeah, exactly. Woo! I hope.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyways.
Unless I take too much fucking magnesium
However, since we're living longer, that means that these diseases are going to become even more prevalent.
Yeah.
Prevalent, why? Because since you're elongating the life or that span of time, then that number increases. So.
Yeah.
It increases. And that's why the total prevalence is going to increase as well. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah.
Talk to us about prevention.
All right. So to prevent that big number of us that are going into 2050, hopefully less sick, how do we prevent it, right? So evidence-based strategies to extend health span. Let's go. I don't know why I did that. Anyways, healthy diet, as we reiterate almost in every episode along with exercise. Well, let's start with that. The Mediterranean diet, which is Mario's favorite for all his patients.
Can you say that again?
Mediterranean.
Mediterranean.
Should
you literally like cut out a whole three letters. Mediterranean. Mediterranean.
Let's add that to the list.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Do we have a list?
Yeah, I had a list, but I need to look. Oh, I think I dropped my notebook. But yeah, have it. Like, remember that I started writing.
Yeah. Okay, anyways.
Anyway, all right. So it's rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and healthy fats, and it's associated with longer health spans. There's actually a really good Netflix documentary on like blue zones. Mm-hmm. And a lot of one of them is around Italy. Another one's in Greece. I know for certain the one in Greece, and they follow the Mediterranean diet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing. Like you see them like cooking and like what they eat on a daily basis and all that stuff. And it's pretty much that. And it's one of those blue zones. And blue zones mean that there's a large population there, larger than in many other places and like percentages, that live like healthy in a like up to, I don't know, 80s, 100s. And they have centenarians and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, so limit processed foods, added sugars, and red meat, which contribute to inflammation and chronic diseases. And we know that inflammation is not a good thing. So another thing that we always harp on, regular exercise. So exercise improves cardiovascular health, maintains muscle mass, and reduces the risk of diseases like diabetes and osteoporosis. And osteoporosis is really something that women, biological women, really should be wary of and prevent, because that is just, it's more common for women, unfortunately. Definitely. Aim for 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per week, including strength training twice a week. The next one is stress management. Chronic stress increases cortisol levels, which accelerate aging. Practices like meditation, deep breathing, or spending time in nature can help reduce stress. Touch grass, people.
Yeah.
Next, adequate sleep. Sleep is essential for cellular repair and brain health. Check out the plethora of episodes that we've done on sleep-related things, you know?
Yeah. We should do, like, little stacks. Yeah. Like, sleep. Health and exercise.
We definitely should. Now that we're like an episode 80-something, we definitely can.
So crazy.
I know. Anyway, so poor sleep habits are linked to obesity, diabetes, and cognitive decline. So aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. I know it's easier said than done, but really, it's like evidence-based, you know? Next, avoid smoking and excess alcohol. Like, we know that, you know? So smoking and heavy drinking shorten lifespan and increase the risk of so many diseases we're not even going to start naming them.
Yeah.
Next, stay engaged. So social connections and a sense of purpose are linked to better mental and physical health, which is something that they mentioned actually in that documentary, that they always try to, not always, but they try as many times as possible to make like family meals and sit together and put down the phone and actually like talk and all that stuff. And that's like part of their habit of eating and all that stuff, along with like their healthy diet and all that stuff. So
it just plays a role into just not body health, but just mental health.
Which is huge.
I mean, we literally talk about cortisol, stress, all these things, which ties into what we do on a day-to-day. And it's so crazy. Like all these things, everything that we just mentioned, like the weightlifting.
Yep.
I feel that for so many people, specifically females, weightlifting is no, because we're going to get big.
It's changing now, though.
I know. Thank God.
Thank God.
But I've had my own parents tell me, well, no, you shouldn't weightlift so much because, you know, that's going to like change your body. And I'm like, no, actually, that is what's going to keep the bone density that I have, that's it. I'm not going to probably develop anymore. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that I'm going to like keep it up.
Yep.
And then the other thing is like sleep, right? I need more sleep. What can I tell you? I feel like that should be one of the things that I did not make a priority in 2025. And I should, because sleep ties into so much.
Yeah.
And then also every single time that I talk to someone about meditation, yoga, and all these things, everyone like rolls their eyes at me.
But it's true.
There's another person telling me to meditate.
Yeah.
And it's a thing.
It is.
Right?
It really is.
And it's the sooner you accept it, the easier it's going to be for you.
I really want to get back into yoga, even if it's just, which is something maybe you could do as well, like you, whoever's watching, listening, whatever. If you don't have like a yoga studio, you don't want to spend the money or whatever, there's a lot of YouTube creators out there that have it for free.
YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. You just do it. And very
beginner friendly. Yes. And again, yoga is not supposed to be, how can I explain it? It can be a workout.
It can, yeah.
It can be I've very good.
Some that are like, I get out of there.
However, yoga can literally just be exercise for your brain.
Exactly.
Right?
You could tie it in with meditation.
Yeah.
Like really, really well. I don't know, it takes practice. It definitely.
We've talked about it before. Meditation is actually way harder than it looks.
Ooh, I can't. I've tried.
I know.
I've literally tried just sitting there. It gets better. Like the whole thing, like the main thing is that you can't think. Yeah. Think of nothing.
Dude, exactly. It's very hard.
Whoa. I think I did 2 seconds.
It definitely takes a lot of work. And there is an app.
Mm-hmm. Calm?
No.
Headspace?
Headspace.
Yes.
I love it. Us. Oh, my God. If only they knew how much I've used them.
Yeah.
Even in med school, I used to do the 5-minute one. Mm-hmm. And I still have that man's voice in my brain bringing me back. Every single time I would start thinking about other things, he's like, come back. I just feel like he had a string to my leg and he was like pulling me down to the ground. He's like, come back. And it takes a lot of practice. Guided
meditation.
Yeah. I had to do guided meditation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no way.
I'm not at a level where I can just do meditation myself.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend a guided meditation. And I feel I'm pretty sure he even had a 2-minute meditation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's definitely doable. You can fit it into your schedule.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about treatments and emerging research. So while aging can't be cured, research is uncovering ways to slow it down, or as I love to say, thanks to my medical school, successful aging. How do we do that? Senolytics. These drugs remove damaged cells that contribute to that inflammation and aging.
I feel like GLP-1s are going to fall into this category.
I think so too, because if you really think about it, they're going to decrease a lot of obesity, which are those chronic conditions.
Yep.
GLP-1s are maybe going to even be like a secondary strategy.
I think so.
Secondary or maybe a tertiary. Well, it is a tertiary prevention.
It already got approved for sleep apnea.
I know.
So great. I really think the next one's going to be PCOS.
Yeah, I think so too. It's only a matter of time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then gene therapy is another one. Scientists are really exploring how to repair or modify genes linked to the aging process. We also have nutraceuticals and supplements. So compounds like NAD plus boosters, which help cells produce energy. Resveratrol has a lot of research behind it found in red wine. That doesn't mean that you need to go out and start drinking some wine. But all of this are being said. I know, Joel's like, why not?
I'm like, yeah, I'm getting my whatever it's called.
But resveratrol does have a lot of research.
Yeah.
But anyways, these are all being studied for their potential longevity benefits. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy. This is like a very new hot.
It is.
Hot thing.
It is. People with money are definitely like jumping on that train.
Yeah. So breathing pure oxygen in a pressurized environment has shown promising results in reversing some signs of aging in early studies.
I mean, it makes sense because you use hyperbaric chambers for treating wounds.
Yeah, we do wound care. We do a lot.
Kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think science is changing and it's so hard because it's so new and we really don't have a lot of info on it. We do have info, but we don't have clinical info on it. So it's so hard for us to be like, is this bogus? Is this not?
We're doing that now, though.
Yeah.
We're testing those things out.
Exactly. And there's a lot of bias. I think that's another thing that makes things very complicated in the world of medicine, that there's a lot of bias.
Huge.
And that's unavoidable.
Yeah.
You know, the only way that we can eliminate those biases is by doing research studies. And then to do that, we need time.
Exactly.
So we'll see what happens. But this is just kind of like what's kind of been on the uptrend.
Yep.
Interesting facts and talking points. So blue zones, which Julie had just mentioned. So these are people kind of living in regions like Okinawa, Japan, and Sardinia and Italy, which are living longer than the average people. Their diets, physical activity, and strong social connections play a really big role in why that happens. And stay tuned for a special episode on that.
Yeah.
What about the next one?
So intermittent fasting. I mean, so many people have like success with this one, right? So fasting has been linked to improved cellular repair processes. Processes, right?
Yeah, processes.
I don't know why I wanted to say something different. Anyway, reduced inflammation again.
Which is kind of crazy because we mentioned in one of our recaps, remember that intermittent fasting was linked to higher morbidity, remember, 10 years down the line.
Yeah, I think that's another
That was specifically for a cardiac group.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, we're learning these things now. We're gathering all this data now, you know?
Yeah, and there's actually is like really good data for intermittent fasting. Yeah. And I remember when that article came out, everyone was kind of like, what? You know?
Yep.
However, that was specifically for a very specific group of cardiac patients. So remember, what works for one group may not be the best for another group.
Right. 100%. So. And then you have cryonics, which some people opt to freeze their bodies after death. So the famous Walt Disney head freezer type of thing. Hoping future science can revive them. So while not practical now, it's an interesting look at how far people are willing to go.
That's so weird. That is so weird.
It's very strange.
No, just...
Yeah, it's very, very strange.
Let me down. Yeah. Let me become one with the earth.
So what I love, that pod, apparently you could put your body in like this biodegradable, that's a word, biodegradable pod, plant it in the ground, and then a tree comes out.
No, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to become one with the earth.
Exactly. I'm totally down with that. Yeah, I'd rather that than like just be in a tomb.
Yeah, no,
I don't want to be in a
tomb.
Either cremate me or put me in that pot.
No. Take me, you know, make my body useful for something.
Or donate me to science.
Yeah, I've also thought about that too, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I want to do just yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not because I'm against it. It's just I feel like that takes... That's also going to depend on what my family... I want to take into consideration what my family would feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, at the end of the day, that's my decision. However, I would like... I don't want my family to be scarred by something that I did, if that makes sense. Am I making sense?
But, like, what do you mean? Like, with like, your body?
Yeah, like, I remember telling my parents that I would be up for donating my body to science. Mm. And my parents were like, what? But, like, they're going to, like, mutilate you. And I'm like, no, that's not what happens.
Hey, there's a common misconception.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, it's going to be my decision.
Mm.
And I know probably what I would want to do.
Yeah.
But I would have to have that talk with my family because I don't want them to, like, suffer more for something.
I see what you mean.
But anyways, at the end of the day, they just need to comprehend that that's my decision.
Yeah. And it's, you're not there. It's just a remembrance.
Yeah, I know. Why did this get so morbid all of a sudden?
I don't know. We're talking about longevity and preventative medicine.
Tree. Pod in a tree. That's what I want to do. I want to get in a pod and create a tree out of myself.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, anyway. Yeah, so the goal of longevity science is not just to extend lifespan, but like we've said, improve the health span. So by focusing on prevention and healthy living, we can reduce the burden of chronic diseases and maintain quality of life as we age, which is exactly what you want. You don't want to be living like 90 something, tired, just sick.
Yeah.
You know, that's not life anymore.
Exactly.
No? So that's the main thing. So since I had mentioned Brian Johnson, and we did an episode on him, which we should do like an updated episode, I wanted to like briefly touch upon him because he's just everywhere in the news these days.
Yeah.
And he's very, very much like linked to this particular topic. And he's a great example of everything that we're talking about.
A little too extreme for me, but...
Oh, 100%.
What he's doing is going to give us good information.
100%. He's like an excellent guinea pig.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's an excellent guinea pig. Exactly. Yeah. Would I be able to do it? I don't know if I would do that. But.
Maybe not. But I'm very grateful for the amount of information
that we're going to get out of it.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So... Brian Johnson, a tech entrepreneur and founder, I'm having hard times right now, and founder of Project Blueprint, is the forefront of extreme longevity practices, aiming to reverse biological aging and extend both lifespan and health span. So it's cutting edge technology and a hefty dose of commitment and money to staying young as science allows. But let's take a little bit of a peek onto what those extreme measures in longevity are. First, he does daily monitoring of biometrics, okay? Johnson tracks over 100 health metrics daily, including glucose levels, heart rate variability, and even stool composition every day.
Yeah, okay? Every day.
Using advanced wearable tech and lab tests. So he's like checking pretty much his blood, his poop, everything daily.
Yep.
Awesome. So supplement overload. He consumes more than 100 supplements daily.
I don't know how he's not like chronically nauseated.
Yes. How does your stomach tolerate that?
I take like one iron pill and I want to vomit the world.
Don't even with iron pills. Don't even. Anyway, so he can. So these include compounds like NAD plus boosters. Say the word.
I'm sorry, I'm just listening. Resveratrol. Resveratrol. So NAD plus boosters, resveratrol, which is just what we just said right now.
Literally. And nutraceuticals designed to slow aging, cellular aging, and enhance metabolic health. And then he also does customized exercise regimen because of course. His daily workouts include precise strength training, cardiovascular activities, and flexibility exercise tailored to his body's needs, all monitored for effectiveness, okay? So he's not just, it's just, I want to get my chest a little bigger.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Everything is like
precise. Yeah.
You know? Next, of course, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So what Evie had just mentioned. So he regularly undergoes hyperbaric oxygen therapy sessions, breathing pure oxygen in a pressurized chamber to promote cellular repair and reduce inflammation. He also undergoes laser skin resurfacing and fat grafts. Okay. He's incorporated cosmetic interventions like skin treatments and body fat redistribution aimed at maintaining a youthful appearance and healthier tissue function.
He looks weird.
It's very, yeah.
I'm just going to say, he looks weird.
Yeah. It's very,
and maybe it's that, like, a very similar feeling to the Uncanny Valley effect that you just, you're like, you look off.
I'm not sure what it is. It's like there's something not right.
Right, about you.
Yeah.
And you get that same feeling when people do a lot of plastics on their face or a lot of filler that you're just like, you look off right now. Mm-hmm. But his is very subtle, but it's there and you can't really tell what it is. So that's why I related a lot to that Uncanny Valley.
That's exactly it. Because it's not as obvious as like overdone Botox
or exactly, something or like filler that. Or something.
This
like
is
that.
More like, what is that?
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next, he does plant-based diets with extreme precision. Johnson follows a calorie-restricted plant-based diet meticulously.
Julie's talking today.
This is only the first episode. This is bad. But weighing and calculating every ingredient for maximum nutritional benefit while avoiding processed foods and sugars. I'm sure that if this guy, like, just touches a grain of, like, white sugar, he'll just, like, seize up.
Of a seizure.
Yeah, like an inorganic, like regular cream sugar that comes in a packet.
How cool would it be? It's like, okay, let's just say he got the information he wanted. He got to his goal. He got to everything and he ate.
That's what I'm saying.
Like a thing. Like I would want to like videotape.
Yeah. No, he'll just like spaz out.
Yeah, like spaz out and go crazy. I don't know what would
happen. Imagine he has like a little bit of the little pink packet or like the equal like sugar, like the ultra processed thing. Like just
aspartame.
Yeah. Pure aspartame. That's it. Go on. Anyway, so then and he undergoes unusual experiments as well. So in one of his latest ventures, he swapped plasma with his son in an experiment to rejuvenate his own body, which is obviously a very highly controversial and extreme approach to combat aging.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So yeah. Longevity and preventative medicine.
Guys. All right. Closing thoughts. What do you think?
It's the way to go.
Yeah. It's definitely the way to go. I'm not sure about some of those therapies, like the HBOT or like the hyperbaric oxygen.
I get it to a certain extent, but I don't know if it's...
I'm willing to try it.
Yeah.
But I know that that's not something that you do once.
That's what I was thinking.
And so I'm the type of person that I need to see... I'm just not Brian John. I'm not a guinea pig.
Yeah. That's why, like, let him do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep doing that.
The risk, I'm like a very risk benefit type of person. Yeah. So
the only thing about, there's a lot of things, but there's going to be like that restrictive thing that you can't really judge much that's going to come out from him with HBOT.
Yeah.
The hyperbaric only because he does all these other things.
Exactly.
So it's like, which one is it really? You know? But I understand hyperbaric because it does help with cellular repair when you have wounds or whatever the heck. I get that, but like, I don't know. I feel like aging is more like with the telemeres. It's more like a deep DNA situation that we need to figure out rather than something very surface level.
Yeah. I think our science is advancing so much.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really proud of science and all its advancements. It's insane. Some of the things that we read.
It really is.
The things that we're seeing and we're going to see in the future and... It's incredible. And I think AI is going to be a huge part of the future in our advancement as well.
Yeah.
Because imagine it's like you have this whole database of all these people's brains. But at the end of the day, I don't think that it's ever going to replace human thinking.
I don't think so either. I think people were like freaking out more in the beginning, just like everybody did when the internet came out.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we're just going to have it integrated into our lives as part of our, like, computers, like phones and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a part of our efficiency, you know? So it's going to do the same thing for medicine.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's the air fryer of medicine.
Yeah, exactly. It's the air fryer of medicine. It does it all.
Exactly.
All right, guys. So that was our episode. We're so happy to be back and recording.
Yes. Yes.
Follow us on all our socials.
Yes. Follow us and everywhere. All our We're platforms. Everywhere. Yes. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, not Twitter, X, Threads.
Yeah.
Freaking love Threads. Yeah. Check us out TikTok now that it's back.
I know. We struggled. I struggled for like 24 hours.
Hopefully it was a nice break. It's back. Yeah, I know. There's so many funny memes.
You can't download it now.
I know.
Which is, anyways.
Yeah. All right, anyway, guys. So check us out there everywhere. Keep on doing everything you guys are doing. Engage with us. Let us know if there's like a particular topic or anything that comes up that you want us to touch upon, make an episode on. We'll be happy to do it. And we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye. Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.